Our scripture reading today is taken from the New Testament, from the first letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 2. If you wish to follow along in the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 295 in the New Testament section of the Bible. Page 295. So I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 2 and from verse 21. It was to this that God called you, for Christ himself suffered for you and left you an example, so that you would follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no one ever heard a lie come from his lips. When he was insulted, he did not answer back with an insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but placed his hopes in God, the righteous judge. Christ himself carried our sins in his body to the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. It is by his wounds that you have been healed. You were like sheep that had lost their way. But now you have been brought back to follow the shepherd and keeper of your souls. Let's pray together. Mighty God, as we read and listen to these words, I pray that you would apply them to our hearts, that our hearts would be open to receive from you, that our ears would be open to listen, and our eyes open to see your truth. So come and pour your Holy Spirit upon us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, today is known by millions of Christians around the world as Palm Sunday, when we mark the beginning of that last week of Jesus' life as he prepares in Jerusalem. He's in Jerusalem. He's preparing for what is ahead of him on Good Friday, his crucifixion and his resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday. And next Sunday we celebrate Easter. We celebrate that Jesus is risen. But today we reflect on his suffering and his cross. That before Easter Sunday makes any sense, we need to ask, why did Jesus die for us? What is the cross about? His resurrection from the dead makes absolutely no sense unless we understand that. The death of Jesus on the cross is the center point of Christianity. Many people wear a cross around their neck. You'll see crosses on the top of churches. The cross is recognized as a symbol of Christianity more than anything else, which is a peculiar thing because it's an instrument of execution. It would be very odd if you saw people walking around with a chain and then a rope noose around their neck or a guillotine. You know, we would think that is odd, that is strange. And yet the cross, the crucifix, was one of the main ways that the Roman army put people to death in the time of Jesus. It was a gruesome and brutal form of execution. And it's odd as well when you compare the story of Jesus to other faiths. Now, the Prophet Muhammad is the main character in the Muslim faith. And many Muslims give great weight to the words and teaching of Muhammad. But there's very, very little about his death. Not a great deal is made of that. And when you consider Buddha, the great philosopher from India, who then went to China and started a whole world way of life, philosophy of life. And Buddha had many, many wise sayings, but from what we know of his death, he died an old man. Some think he maybe had food poisoning and upset his stomach, and then he died in his sort of mid-80s. But when we look at the death of Jesus, there's something quite remarkable about it. The Gospel of Mark, which is 16 chapters long, the very last 8 chapters, whole 50% of that Gospel is taken up with Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection and all those things leading up to it. His last week on the cross takes up the whole half of the Gospel. And that tells us that his death is important. The other letters of the apostles in the New Testament have Jesus' death on the cross right at the very centre of the Gospel. If you take the cross away, there is no Gospel, there is no good news without the bad news of Good Friday. So what was it about the cross that was so important to the early Christians and to us today? Why did Jesus die on the cross? What does it mean? Now, when we turn to this passage in 1 Peter 2, the apostle gives us 4 different aspects of Jesus' death on the cross and gives us 4 good reasons why he died. And that's what I want to focus on today. In the background to this passage from 1 Peter was the reading from the Old Testament that we heard earlier on from Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. I've said this a number of times to the congregation here before, that if you read those chapters, which were written 800 years before Jesus was even born, they read like a newspaper report at the foot of the cross, as if a journalist was there writing down what had happened. And yet it was foretold hundreds and hundreds of years before. And it gives us so much understanding of what Jesus' death was about. And I'd encourage you, if you have time, go to those chapters in the book of Isaiah this week, especially this week being Holy Week. Read them, reflect on them, and I'm sure you will get a lot out of them. When we turn to 1 Peter, he gives us these 4 things that help us understand why Jesus died on the cross. The first is that Peter tells us that by his death on the cross, Christ carried our sins in his body. Now, what does that mean, that Christ carried our sins in his body? It certainly doesn't mean that Jesus was a sinner, because he took on our sin, that meant he was a sinner. Because Peter has just told us that he never sinned. That no one even ever found a lie on his lips. Jesus lived a perfect, holy, sinless life, the only person to ever have done so. When we turn to this book of Isaiah, it helps shed light on this, helps us understand. Isaiah says about Christ, but he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. My devoted servant, with whom I am pleased, will bear the punishment of many, and for his sake, I will forgive them. So in other words, Jesus carried our sin in his body. He carried your sin. He carried my sin. He took on the punishment that rightfully should be ours. That Jesus took the blame for all the wrong things that we have done. He took them upon his body on the cross. So every wound, every blow, he took the punishment that should have been ours. If you think about that for a moment, if you had done something wrong, you had to go to court, and somebody else, a friend, stood up and said, I'll go to jail for you. I'll go and take the punishment in your place. That would be quite an extraordinary thing, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's what Jesus did for us. He was executed on our behalf. Jesus suffered hell so that we don't have to suffer hell. What Jesus endured on the cross was hell in all its force. And it was our sin that put him on the cross, but it was his love for us that held him there on the cross. Well, the nails maybe kept his hands up. Nails in his feet maybe kept his feet on that cross. If you remember from the story, people mocked him and said, if you are the Christ, why don't you come down from the cross? If you're so powerful, if you're so big, why don't you come down right now and prove who you are? And Jesus could have done that at any moment, but he didn't. It was his love that held his hands and his feet to the cross. Well, there's a hymn that we sing sometimes here in the church. And the words go like this: "What kind of love is this that gave himself for me? I am the guilty one, yet I go free. What kind of man is this that died in agony? He who had done no wrong was crucified for me." I think those words express very well the way that we might respond to Jesus and what he has done for us. I'd urge you to ask yourself, what kind of love is this? What kind of love is this that took my sin upon the cross? What kind of man is this that did this for me? The second thing that Peter tells us is that by Jesus' death on the cross, a correct response on our part is that we die to sin and we live for righteousness. Righteousness is an expression in the Bible to describe people who are living God's way and not just following their own way in life. It's people who follow God's way. If what we're talking about here is not some kind of condition that God puts on us before he accepts us, he's not saying that we need to clean up our act before he will love us. He's saying that because Jesus died on the cross and carried our sin, in response to his love and mercy, in thankfulness, we want to love him, we want to obey him, we want to follow him. Now, living God's way isn't a condition of God's love, but it's proof that we love him. God loves you regardless, because Christ has already died on the cross for you. Now, Jesus died on the cross to free you from your sins. And knowing that this man has done this for you, how do you respond to that? What do you have of your life to give him? The Bible tells us that the correct response is to give him our lives, to follow him, to follow his example, to live our lives for him. And God has loved you so much that he sent his only son. How are you going to love him and respond to him back? Then thirdly, Peter tells us that the wounds that Jesus suffered on the cross in his hands, in his feet and in his sides bring us healing and wholeness. Now, Peter quotes from the Old Testament, from this passage in Isaiah, which says, "We are healed by the punishment that he suffered, made whole by the blows that he received." You know, those of you that maybe have children know that when your child is sick and they're crying and they're gurney and they're not sleeping, that you would do anything if you were able to transfer their pain and their sickness onto yourself. If you could take away whatever pain they're going through for a moment, you would do it in an instant. And yet we know we cannot do that. Yet that is what Jesus has done for us. The wounds that he suffered, the blows to his back with the Roman cat of nine tails that tore chunks of flesh out of his back even before he got to the cross. Every blow, every wound was for you and me. And with every blow and every wound, he heals our heart, because that's the real problem. As I was saying earlier to the children, the real problem that we have is that, left to our own devices, we don't want to love God. We don't want to live his way. We want to live our own way and decide what we do with our own lives. But Jesus died for us. This is how he brings healing to your soul, healing to your heart. Now, we all know that a lack of exercise and smoking and too much saturated fat in our diet does damage to our heart. And what the doctor probably won't tell you is that sin is actually the biggest problem of your heart. And that's what Jesus came to solve, to heal, and to put right. And for us to be able to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbour as ourselves, we need God to do something on the inside, because on our own we're incapable of doing it. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us. He was wounded so that you could be made whole. Then lastly, Peter tells us that the cross brings us back to God. In verse 25, he says, "You were like sheep that had lost their way, but now you've been brought back to follow the shepherd and keeper of your souls." Well, Jesus tells a parable in one of the Gospels about a lost sheep. In that parable, this man has 100 sheep and loses one of them. And he says, what do you do in a situation like that? You leave the 99 that are okay and you go after the one that is lost, the one who needs help. And when you find it, you throw a big party. You rejoice, you celebrate, because you found that one lost sheep that was lost. And in the Bible, God's people are compared to sheep very often. If you know anything about sheep, sheep are not the most obedient creatures that God ever made. They just have a habit of doing whatever they like. That's why the farmer has to use dogs to round them up, because they're not going to listen to him. They need guidance, they need guiding to wherever he wants them to go. And how often are we like that? We just want to do things our own way. We're like sheep that have wandered away from God's flock, from his fold. But Jesus says, in the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. The word repent means that we turn away from our old life, a life of just doing as we please, to start living for God. Heaven is having a party every time somebody turns back to God, turns to Jesus. Now, the best psalm in the whole Bible, Psalm 23, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, God is the shepherd of his sheep. God is the one who is looking over us and caring for us. God is the one who is out looking for his sheep who are lost and wandering around. And Isaiah 53 says, "All of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going his own way." Jesus is seeking his sheep. If you're out wandering somewhere, he wants you to come home. He wants you to know and experience his love and his grace and his mercy and all the goodness that he can offer you. Maybe there's some folk here today who feel like they're lost. You've been looking for direction and meaning in your life, but as yet you have not found it. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is already drawing you. The fact that you're here today, Jesus is drawing you and calling you. That he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Jesus has good things for you. He carried your sins. He endured hell on the cross. He died to make you whole again and bring healing to your heart and soul. I want to finish with this question for you today. Knowing what Jesus has done for you, that he gave his life for you, that he died on the cross for you, what are you going to do with that? We have two choices. We can walk away and say no thank you, or we can receive it gladly. We can say, "Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and Saviour. I want to follow you this day." I'll leave you with these words from the Apostle Peter. "It was to this that God called you, for Christ himself suffered for you and left an example so that you would follow in his steps." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth, to live a perfect, holy, and sinless life, and to die on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins that we rightly deserve, enduring hell in our place. Lord, help us to respond to that love today. Even those of us who have known you for many years, may we never forget your love for us. Help us to respond with thanksgiving and worship. Help us to give our lives to you this day and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue in our worship now as we take up our tithes and our offerings.